everybody. I'm back. I'm Karen Hartglass, the host of It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me on this lovely February 19, 2013. And wherever you are, I'm sending out some really energized good vibes to you wherever you may be and wishing you well. So we're going to talk more about food, my favorite subject, and let's get right on to my next guest, Dr. Bob Arno, physician and avid chia advocate, is a New York Times bestselling author and has written 14 previous books on nutrition and health topics. He has been a medical correspondent for NBC Nightly News, Dateline NBC, The Today Show, CBS Evening News, 60 Minutes, and CBS This Morning, and he is a health columnist for Men's Journal. He lives in Palm Beach, Florida, and spends his winters in Vermont. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Boy, what a great introduction. Thank you so much. Very appreciative.
Okay, now you are like Superman, are you not? Is there nothing you haven't done? you've been all around the world climbing everything.
I hadn't sung, so actually when I took opera lessons, I don't think you want to ask me to do it, but...
Sing with me. I sing opera. Let's sing a duet.
How about the beginning of Don Giovanni?
Okay. Okay, bene. That's very good.
This chia has just, you know, remade my life. I mean, I ski race 5 days a week during the winter. I do 100-mile bike races in the summer. I did the Molokai, Oahu, 32-mile open ocean stand-up paddling race this summer with 28-foot swells and 35-knot winds. So, you know, it's interesting that the ancient Aztecs actually went into battle only with chia. They would fight the Spanish for weeks at a time only with chia. The Tarahumara runners you hear about and Born to Run. Again, they're out there in these 100-plus-mile runs, fueling themselves only with chia. But the real miracle here really has been in weight loss. I mean, I have never seen anything like it. Never. I mean, it really does act almost as if you had lap band surgery in the sense that it fills you up. You just don't feel like eating. So I've never felt better. I've never seen a diet where basically you don't have that brain-searing hunger and you feel amazingly great and you feel full. Seems to be good to be true, but it isn't. I mean, it really works. And we have 2 years of clinical trials with real women and real men who've had terrible weight loss problems, who've finally been able to get that weight loss done and have never felt better in their lives.
Chia is an amazing food, and if you just add water to it, you kind of see how it fluffs up and gets all gummy and filling.
But the big thing, you know, we did with the Aztec diet was to take chia, which is terrific. It's great on its own, but the fact of the matter is if you just throw it on your burger and fries, it's not going to do that much for you. It'll do a little bit. We really wanted to take the entire Aztec experience to give people foods that have staggering amounts of antioxidants in it, totally fill them up and make them feel great. And the big thing, you know, is it kills what we call micronutrient hunger. In other words, you could have burgers and fries all day long, and you're still going to be hungry. Why? Because you don't have all the minerals and vitamins and antioxidants that you need. So it solves these really big problems in a wonderful and fun way. You know, day one, you start out with these smoothies or shakes, and you have staggering inflammation levels that are just dropped down into the sewer. You're able to take your glucose load, which is the number one reason that we're overweight, and again, just drop it into the sewer and not have the hunger that, you know, really, you know, is what kills people with diets, you know, that they just can't do it that long because they feel just so terrible with brain-searing pain.
Okay, it's very obvious that you're full of energy, and people probably say that they get exhausted just listening to you. But I want to say something first. I am a vegan, and I promote a plant-based diet, but I love talking to different people who have their ideas about diets and what works. And what I like to do is talk about the things where we're aligned. Clearly, everybody has differences, but there are things that we're aligned on, and I think it's so important that we all come together and talk about the things that we agree on, because we can all move faster forward that way. So it's really clear that here in the United States, we have this horrible obesity epidemic. I think I said this earlier, but we all have this bad food disorder. We're marketed to eat all the wrong foods, and it's a nightmare.
And actually, you know, the Aztec diet over the weekend hit number 9 on the Amazon bestseller list, but more importantly, number 2 on the vegetarian bestseller list. And, you know, it's largely a vegetarian diet. You can be a total vegan on it. You know, I'd say 98% of the time vegetarian. But the key thing is this. The Aztec grains allow you to be vegetarian in a very easy way. Why? Because, you know, there's amino acid score. 100 or above means you have a complete protein. But chia is like 115. We have 3 or 4 grains that are all over 100. And by comparison, you know, a ground round is only 92 and a hamburger 68. So you easily get the proteins you want. You fill yourself up. And then, you know, when I get up in the morning, I have, you know, kale, blueberries, spinach, watercress, you know, all thrown into a mixer with chia and a little bit of honey. And it's just staggeringly good. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and I do lots and lots of exercise, and I don't have any muscle pain, and I don't have any protein deficiency, largely because the Aztecs figured it out before anybody else. And that is how you get all the protein you need out of a completely vegetarian diet.
Yeah, and I was very sad to read in the beginning of your book when you were talking a little bit about Aztec history, how they had fields and fields of chia growing, and the Spaniards came along and realized that was the secret to their success, so they destroyed them.
It was such a tragedy because, you know, I think if they kept their chia fields, they probably would have won, you know?
Yeah.
That and maybe found a little gunpowder. But it was, you know, it's amazing that back in the time of the Aztecs, that they lived roughly to the age of 38, where in France and most of Europe, people lived to the age of 28 or 29. So they were much healthier, much greater longevity. And women there, you know, had many more children. They were healthier children than any place in Europe. So it's one of the most successful cultures anywhere, and it's because of the foods that they had. You know, this Aztec diet was just staggering in terms of its power and breadth.
Well, the thing is, here we are in 2013. We don't know everything, but we do know a lot more. And so we can take some of the things that were good from a long time ago, but we don't live in that time anymore, and a lot of things have changed. But we certainly can use and make a benefit of the things that we know are good and bring it into the 21st century. And things like you mentioned, kale and blueberries, I mean, these are easily accessible foods, and they do amazing things. But I think we agree that the key is to get people off of the junk, the high glycemic load, highly processed food, and get them to eating more fruits and vegetables and whole foods and chia and quinoa and amaranth.
And the thing is you know, everybody knows they're supposed to do it, but they can't do it. And the secret here is you start out with these smoothies that are great tasting. I mean, like you went to a juice bar, and it tastes unbelievably great. And I think it's because, you know, the fruits, a little honey in there makes it taste great, and the chia, and even a little Greek yogurt, if that's something that your diet allows. But then you add all these vegetables in, and they taste amazingly great. You know, it sort of disguises them. It hides your veggies so that you're able to get all these amazing nutrients and not feel that you're having to gag on vegetables. In fact, Barbara Rolls, one of the researchers that we point out in the book, talks about hiding your veggies, and that's the way to do it. You hide your veggies, and you feel proud of it. I mean, I'm not a big vegetable eater, but now I have my 9 servings a day because I put them all in a shake disguised with blueberries and cantaloupe and bananas and a little bit of honey, and it tastes amazingly great.
Now let's talk about you not being a big vegetable eater. Now, why do you have a problem eating vegetables, Bob? Really?
Well, you know, it's very interesting that, you know, there's a gene, apparently, for vegetable eaters that they don't mind the bitter kind of taste, and they live longer, and it's a great kind of asset. When I was a kid, my parents almost force-fed me, you know, cauliflower and Brussels sprouts, and I just, it really...
Now, I think, I could be wrong, but I think when you start in with these smoothies, which is a great idea because they taste great, slowly your taste buds will change and you'll start to appreciate some of these vegetables on their own.
And that's what we actually do in the book. That is, we have amazing recipes in there. So I do that. For instance, I make a turkey burger now that has kale and amaranth in it. So there are amazing ways of doing that. If you want to stay completely vegetarian, again, great, great dishes where you do get to appreciate the taste. And I agree with you. I mean, I tremendously appreciate the kind of, you know, nice, crisp, bitter taste of kale now, and so I'll have it in my salads and other places. So I look at chia really as sort of like a starter drug, starter food. You know, if you haven't gone this way, you'll start to go that way. And you're right, your taste buds do change. You do accept these other things, but it's great to have a start that's powerful.
Now, you started the book talking about a number of different scales or ways to evaluate different foods, and I thought that was great. And maybe we can touch on some of them so that people understand how to Well, what's in their food and what isn't in their food? So the first one is the Andy score, which Whole Foods uses a lot. And if you've been in Whole Foods, you can see them. But what I like about it is it scores kale number one with 1,000 points. There's nothing kale can't do. It's amazing. And then all the other fruits and vegetables fall in line.
And it's great. You know, we looked at all of these different scales, and there are a lot of very good ones out there. I do like Andy. And the tricky thing is that you take a look at a burger, fries, you know, soft drink meal, and on that Andy table, you're going to get a 23. But what's even more surprising is that if you take what's, you know, a healthy all-American meal, you know, with some chicken and rice and stewed veggies or whatever, you only get 320 points, keeping in mind, as you say, that kale gets 1,000 points. So with the Aztec diet, by the time you finish breakfast, you've got 3,328 Andy points. That's more nutrition than most people get in a whole month, and you've got it in the morning. And that's, I think, why I feel, and people on the Aztec diet just feel the best that they've ever felt, because on a relative scale, the average American, you know, out of 100% is getting maybe 3% is a score for their nutrients. And when we bring them up to 500%, they just can't ever believe that they could feel that good in their whole life.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, the question is, how did we get to this crazy place to begin with where everybody's so sick and eating all the wrong foods?
You know, it's a very interesting thing. One thing about this book is we go into a lot of traditional peoples and how when they were on the traditional diets, like the Aztecs or like the Maori in New Zealand or like the Pima Indians in Arizona, the Native Hawaiians out in Oahu, and they were tall, strong, Olympic-looking peoples, you know, for tens of thousands of years. And then when we inflicted on them this Western diet, I mean, they had staggering levels of obesity and diabetes and heart disease. Miserable. So what this book advocates more than anything else is going back to the traditional diets, because those traditional diets have cultural values that they embrace. For instance, the Native Hawaiians embrace their cultural values as a way of going back to these diets. They want to do it because it's who they are culturally rather than just going on a diet. So I think it's a very, very interesting sell. A big part of why, of course, we've gone to this fast food diet is because it's fast. And so we tried to solve that problem with the book. And I actually have a video up online that shows that in 90 seconds, I can prepare a whole day's worth of smoothies. I mean, with every imaginable, you know, vegetable and fruit and just tremendous stuff in it. And like today, I can often run one of those ski runs, make myself big bike bottles full of these chia smoothies, and I just drink them all day long. And in that way, you know, that it makes it fast, and you're never hungry, which is, I think, the most important part of the Aztec diet book is you're just never hungry.
Now, do you know the history between, okay, after the Aztecs were gone and now we're here in 2013, when did chia get reintroduced? How did we get to know chia again?
Well, back in the 1890s, you know, there were scholars who went out across the American West, and it grew in places where other plants wouldn't grow. There were couriers who would actually go from the Colorado River all the way out to the Pacific Ocean there just taking chia as their fuel. So there was some lore about it, but it's a very, very hard crop to grow. It was only back about 1978, Al Bushway from the University of Maine, their agriculture department up there, started researching and found all these amazing, staggering health values. And slowly, you know, it made its way back into sort of health stores, as you can imagine, out in California in the, you know, 60s and 70s and 80s. And then really starting in 2005, science swooped in. And as we started to see these very, very good, strong studies on its composition and its health effects, it started to grow. And it's really only been over the last year or so that it's really sort of entered the public consciousness. And for a very interesting reason, and that is, you know, chia really is an ingredient, which is odd. I mean, you know, kale's a food, hamburger's a food, french fries are a food, but it's an ingredient. So people have to get used to the idea they're going to add it to something, that they'll add it to a recipe, add it to a soup, add it to their cereal, or as we recommend, that they add it to a smoothie.
Right. You're not going to sit down and have chia for lunch. It's got to be mixed with something because
it doesn't taste
like much, but it can be kind of gross, especially, you know, if you mix it with water, it's a little gooey. And
Well, but the interesting thing is just that gooiness. We call it mucilaginous. And what it means is that gooey substance is what actually sticks in your stomach. So we had oatmeal as kids to stick in your stomach. This probably sticks in your stomach 10 times longer than oatmeal. And that's the secret of it, is that the chia stays in your stomach so long that it just kills your hunger for hours longer than you can possibly imagine. But the best thing about chia is it doesn't have any taste. So whether you put it in a smoothie or your Gatorade or some water or whiskey or whatever you want to put it in, you know, it doesn't have a taste. And so it's easy to have, you know, what I think is the number one food in the world.
Yeah, well, I think it's unfortunate today that so many people want their food to be easy, and as a result, they may make the wrong choices. So it is attractive to know that they have some choices that are easy but are good for them and can actually help them lose weight. Just one more thing.
Totally great.
I just wanted one more thing I want to talk about, and that's inflammation. So you have, you include this, some of the foods that have, scores for their inflammation potential. Can you explain some of that?
Sure. So one of the most important things in all of health today is inflammation. That is 50% of heart disease is due to inflammation. You know, some cancers are grown by inflammation. But I think the number one point is this, that if you look at the average American woman who's overweight, she is a cauldron of inflammation in her blood, in her brain, in every organ. And she gets up and she feels terrible every single day. So with this diet, you're able to take your inflammation levels from a negative 1800, which is a terrible score, up to a positive 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000. So with that difference of like 6,000 to 8,000 in your inflammation levels, it just turns your brain around. Inflammation in your brain makes all the wrong neurotransmitters or cuts down on the good neurotransmitters. You feel terrible. Again, you know, heart disease, blood vessel disease, lung disease. You know, your whole body really is on fire inside with inflammation. And it's why people feel so good. There actually is a test for inflammation called CRP or C-reactive protein. Mm-hmm. And we tested all of our dieters. And the intriguing thing is that CRP came down in every single one of them.
Mm. Yeah, people probably don't even realize that that's really a great marker to test health before you really find out what's going on, that C-reactive protein.
Maybe the best of all.
Yeah, I could, because it can really predict things before it's too late.
Totally agree.
Because it shows
totally
that great inflammation, yeah. So what are some of the best foods for that score high on anti-inflammation that don't cause inflammation?
Well, you know, we have these premium foods.
Chia seeds?
It's clear. Chia seeds are very, very good. But also, you know, when you look at the veggies, you know, clearly look at chia, the kale, watercress, collard greens, all at 1,000. You have spinach at 700. You kind of come down from there. But the intriguing thing I learned many years ago from Center for the Science of the Public Interest is, you know, you don't have to have tons and tons of vegetables. You have to have the right ones. So, you know, you might have lettuce as an example, which probably has an ANTI score of, you know, like 50 versus kale at 1,000. Mm-hmm. Well, why not have the kale? So you can have fewer, better foods. And, you know, the surprising thing to me in reading writing the Aztec diet was that if you take any food group, if you look at the top 10, by the time you're at the bottom of the top 10, you're not very good. I mean, not bad for you, but, you know, you go from 1,000 points down to probably 200 in the veggie table by the time you've, you know, gone from number one down to number 10. And the same thing's true, you know, for meats and fruits and grains and whatnot. So there are, I'm a big believer when you diet, if you want to be healthy, you don't need a huge variety of foods. You need to pick just a very few foods that are unbelievably good with you and stick with those.
I think most people like to have the same things most of the time anyway. We really don't like change. So the thing is to do the work, get to the right place, and then find the foods that are really going to work for you.
No, I totally agree. Agree.
And then, you know, occasionally you can go
diet
out. A what?
We call it the dull diet, you know.
Well, but it's not.
Well, I know. No, it's good for you. But you were saying about, you know, going out to eat. The great thing about the Aztec diet is when you go out, sure, you want to try to make the right choices. I try to sit down, tell people not to bring any bread, you know, dig into the main course as quickly as I can to fill myself up. But look, you know, we have holidays. We have Thanksgiving. We have birthdays. We have weddings. And we all overeat at those. And the great joy of the Aztec diet is the day after you come home, you start the chia shakes again, the weight comes off, and you feel amazing. So it allows you to enjoy your life, but at the same time, get right back on the wagon.
Well, I know that when I indulge myself the next day, that's all I want to do is to get right back, because I know how good it feels when I'm doing the right thing. And, you know, and when you wean yourself off the bad foods and then you kind of let yourself have them again, sometimes that turns people totally off of them because they see how bad it makes them feel.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I go to a party now, I almost dread them. How awful that.
Right.
I'll actually bring a thermos of a chia shake along with.
Yeah, I like to tell people to eat a lot before they know they're going to a dangerous event.
That's good advice. Well, all your advice is so good, you know.
Thank you. Well, Bob, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food, and thanks for telling the world about this miracle superfood, chia. And if you need any more tips on your opera work, I'd be happy to help you with them some other time.
Well, I'd be like, buy a copy of The Aztec Diet, and I'll get an opera lesson from you.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
what
thank
a pleasure.
You. Okay.
You're welcome.
So, we have a few more minutes left, and let's just digest what we talked about today, okay? I'm still digesting my lunch. Which is one of those indulgent things that I had, and I can't wait to get back to my juicing and kale salads. Interesting things were brought up in this book, The Aztec Diet, that we just talked about, Chia Power, the superfood that gets you skinny and keeps you healthy. And as I said earlier, I wanted to talk about the things that I agreed with, but I have to say that there are things in the book that I personally wouldn't promote. And so I like to keep that in mind. I definitely promote chia seeds are great. I think it's great to mix them up with flax seeds and other foods that give you a lot of omega-3 fatty acids. We don't know enough about chia yet. I've seen all kinds of different numbers about nutritional value in chia. And some people like to know, is flax better than chia? Is chia better than flax? I think variety works best. And maybe we'll learn more about chia as time goes on. I know that flax has more lignans, and lignans are great for fighting cancer. But I don't like to look at what's in food and keep track of the numbers. Now, sometimes it really helps when people are making a change in their diet to see what foods are going to give them more of good things rather than less. But ultimately, I think it's really good to land in a place where you don't have to keep score. You don't have to be counting. And that's the beauty of green plant foods, vegetables, beans. You can just eat them until you're satisfied, right? And then get on with your day. Okay. Well, I wanted to remind you, and I didn't say this at the beginning of the program, but I like to hear from you, and you're certainly welcome to call in during the program and ask questions. It's kind of the end of the program, so that's not really the right time to say it. But in the future, please do. And you can always send me an email at info@realmeals.org, info@realmeals.org, if there's something you liked or something you didn't like or something you agree with or didn't agree with. You can write me and let me know. I really need and love to hear from you. And we are continuing over at my nonprofit, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com, with our transcription project, which is enabling us to put into text all of these different programs so you can access them not only in the audio podcast, but read and remember some of the information even better. Well, it's time to go. Thank you for listening. I'm Karen Hartglass. It's been a great moment here with It's All About Food. Have a delicious week.